So, yeah, we've been establishing that God speaks to his people, and it should be normal for a believer to hear the voice of God. And it's interesting why, or it's sad that many Christians or many believers have never really heard the voice of God. They don't know the voice of God and are not able to be guided by the voice of the Holy Spirit. And this is really unfortunate because we are much different from the Old Testament believers because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Ask yourself, if Abraham, how did Abraham by faith hear God when God told him, to leave your father, to leave your kindred, your city, your people, and go to a land I will show you? Think of when God speaks to him and tells him, sacrifice your son, your only son. He could not have an excuse, or God made it in a way that he should not miss out that this is the voice of God. Can you imagine if, and this happened so many times where people think that it is the voice of God speaking to them, and we've all made those mistakes. But then we realize that it wasn't our voice, but it was the voice of ourself, it was the voice of our flesh, it was our own thoughts. And so this aspect of discerning the voice of God or distinguishing the voice of God is so critical to a believer, because without discernment, then we can easily be misled and we can easily do the wrong thing. And you can find, the situations of where a brother comes to a sister and says, the Lord has shown me that you are my wife. And when the lady says, okay, give me a moment, I need to talk to my husband. And then the man realizes that, oh, for sure, it was not God speaking to him, but it was his ideas, it was his carnal flesh that was pulling him in that direction. But one of the things that we have to know is that God speaks in various ways, and God has different methods and different ways in which he speaks to us, and we cannot put him in a box that he shall speak in this way. But one of the things that is consistent is that there are those aspects that are common for all, in that God should speak to us through our spirits, through the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. For every believer, that is common for all, and no one should miss that out, in that the Holy Spirit that dwells inside each of us who are born again speaks to our spirits directly, and he speaks to us, and he gives us the thoughts, he gives us the ideas, he gives us the suggestions, he leads us. And so one of the key and the core areas that God speaks to believers is through the inward witness of the Holy Spirit within us. A second area that the Lord speaks to us and speaks to his children is through the Word of God. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Now, this is very important because it offers the basis by which we judge, by which we establish, by which we align truth, in that as everyone, when you have had, that inward witness of the Spirit, when you've had a vision, or when you've had a trance, or when you've had, all these sights and all this hearing, then you need to wait according to Scripture. You need to wait according to the Word of God. Now, if what you think you're hearing from God, like let's say someone says that, oh, I feel that God is leading me to go and steal. Now, when you weigh that to the Word of God and you find that it is contrary to the law of God, then you can tell for sure, without a shadow of doubt, that this is not of God. Now, like someone can say, oh, God is telling me that I need to divorce. Now, when you hear that, then you need to ask yourself, how does that align to Scripture? Because Scripture says God does not, or God hates divorce. So now, when you ask yourself, align it to Scripture. Yes, this might have come from a prophet, it might have come from a man of God, it might have come from yourself. But you see, there are things that you need to align yourself to Scripture and ask yourself, is this in line with the Word of God? Now, when the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, it speaks that we need to learn the place and the art, or really the practice, of meditating on the Word of God. Now, when you think of what Joshua was told by God, God told him, now, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. But then he's told that this book of the law, do not let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, and so that you will be careful to obey every instruction in it, and then you shall have good success. When you read Joshua 1:8, he's told this book of the law, do not let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. When you think of Psalms chapter 1, and from verse 1, it says, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. So apart from the inward witness of the Holy Spirit that we have spoken about, that is to every believer, where the Bible says his spirit bears witness. So when the inward witness is where the Holy Spirit bears witness with you over something, but this act of meditation, and meditation here is different from how, you know, the world does meditation, because the world does meditation by emptying of yourself. You find someone will just be in a quiet place and take out, you know, in his thoughts, he will be like, empty himself and then think of nothing and all that. But that is not how God teaches us, or how the Christian is expected to meditate. How is the Christian expected to meditate? The Christian is expected to meditate by the Word of God. When it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, then that means when you take a scripture, like when you're reading the Word, there is a Word that comes alive to you. You know, like, let's say, for example, you look at Joshua, where he's told, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. You know, it is maybe you're going through fear. And then as you're reading that Word, then that Word comes alive to you. And you can see that this is where God wants to give you this Word. Now, you start to think of that Word. What does this Word, when God starts saying, be strong and courageous? And then you start speaking it. You know, when it says, this book of the Lord, do not let it depart from your mouth. Now, you can imagine that, so, as you are speaking it, that Word, you know, science tells us that when you read something, when you speak it, when you see it, when your ears hear it, then that Word is, you know, it's like imprinted more in our inner man. And that is why children, they learn not only by seeing, but also by vocalizing. So now when you're meditating, as you're thinking deeply, you know, as you're thinking deeply and reflecting on this Word of God. You know, it's like, let's say, for example, you're trusting God for healing, and you go to 1 Peter 2:24. The Bible says that he that himself bore our sins on the cross, you know, and so that we might no longer live to sin, or we might die to our sins. And then the Bible says that by his stripes you are healed. And you start to think of how God actually, how Jesus himself, he bore our sins on the cross. And as you start to think of it, then you start to think that every sin that God placed, that you ever did, that is weighing against you, the Bible says that God placed it on Christ. And you have to start to think of it that the Bible says that he carried them. He took it away from you. That means that that sin is no longer on you. That sin is no longer counted to you. That sin can no longer be charged against you. It is no longer on your account. in your record, you are clean. Before men, yes, they still have that perception. They still say you are fake. They still say you are not, you cannot amount to anything. But you see, when you start to meditate on that word of God, that he bore our sins on the cross, and it starts to paint a mental picture of that sin being put on Jesus's back and on Jesus. And the Bible says, he that knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. Then as you see your sin being placed on Christ, then you start to see yourself spotless. You start to see yourself clean. You start to see yourself holy. Why? Because there is someone who came and carried away your sin. And you start to see yourself as sinless, without sin. Why? Because there's someone who carried it. And the Bible says, because of that, you were healed. Not that even that you will be healed. You were healed. That means to you and I, we are healed. Now, as you start to meditate on the scriptures, then you will hear the voice of God in the midst of it. And it will tell you that, so why are you sick? And then when you hear that, you say, oh, yes, I cannot be sick. Why? Because he bore my sin. Sickness comes from sin. It's the effect of sin, because when God made Adam, there was no sin. Or rather, there was no sickness. Now, just as an example, when you start to reflect on that word, and then that word starts to bear fruit, then you start to say it. You start to speak it. You start to say it. Yes, I was healed. I was healed. I was healed by his stripes. He bore by his stripes. I was healed. And as you're meditating and vocalizing, what happens is not only this bubbling, you know, because at the moment, at the first, when you start, you're quiet, you know, you're reflecting, you're thinking, and you know, your heart is burning with that word. Until it gets to that point where you can no longer be silent and you just start to speak it. And you're alone and you're like, whoo! You even want to give it a shout. Why? Because that word has become flesh. It's no longer just the written word. It has become flesh. The Bible says his word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, as you're hearing that, then that is where God now gives you his word. And you see, when you're meditating on the word of God, set it aside a time where you're quiet, where you are not, you're away from distractions, and more importantly, have something to write. Have something, have your notes to write, have either a notebook, a pen, and just be ready to listen to the thoughts of God. Now, in that moment, as you are reflecting on that word, as you have set aside that thought and that word has become alive, then you are in the frequency of the thoughts of God. Now, when the Bible says you have the mind of Christ, then that means that you are in a place where your thoughts come into alignment with the thoughts of God. And now God starts to give you thoughts. It could be about your workplace. It could be about your vision for your life. It could be about your children. It could be about, you know, what you need to do. And now that's the point where you now start to write. You can write what God is speaking. If you're typing, you can type it. Why? Because you have submitted yourself to the place where it's no longer you that is alive. You have silenced every fiber of yourself. You have silenced every thought, every thinking of yourself. And now you have allowed the world to well up in you. And you've allowed the word of God to grow in you. So as you meditate on the word of God, then the Bible says, then you shall be careful to obey it. And then the Lord shall make your way prosperous and successful. I tell you, if you learn this secret, of not only knowing the inner witness of God, but also to meditate on the Word of God, this is one of the greatest ways that God will grow your spirit, grow you in the inner man, and then also God will speak to you and give you your wisdom for life. I'll stop there, and you're welcome as God allows you.
Thank you, Dr. Mane. And thanks for Dr. Mane. Indeed, I've always, when I always hear people say that I've heard the voice of God, and this is what God has said, but sometimes you really see that what the person is saying is what God has told them to do. You really see it cannot be. Always ask myself, how can I? And I've known that where God speaks to you in silence, the enemy can also do the same. So how to discern the voice of this is God and this is not God is what I've always wanted to see clarity on, because I know one, you have said that we align to the Word of God.
Yeah.
Is ever being told to you in line with what God is teaching.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know, so the enemy is very good at knowing the Word of God. Sometimes they can talk to you and you think, oh, it is God who has talked to me. So I've had a lot of Christians do that, and and sometimes it's only to regret late and realize, oh, it wasn't actually.
No, it's true. It's true. Actually, when you think of that, they're what we call guiding lights, or they're things that you weigh every instruction of God. Now, one is the inward witness of God. You know, in your inner man, have you heard that? Okay, fine. Yes, you have heard that. Then number two, you weigh it on the Word of God. Is this in line with the Word of God? The answer is yes or no. If it is not in line with the Word of God, then it is not right. So the confirmation of Scripture is very important. Then number three, you also have to think about that, as God is, has God brought someone else to say the same thing? You know, like what we call godly counsel. God places people in your life who you can speak to. You can think of what Paul did. He said that when he came from Arabia, he went to see those of Peter. He saw those apostles. Why? Because he wanted to share to them that, you see, this is what God has revealed to me. Even after he had preached, he came back and gave feedback so that he will not have run his race in vain. So there is a place where God gives you people that you walk alongside with, that you share. In fact, when you're mature, there are things that you have to share with your brothers and say, this is what I feel God is saying. Can we pray together? You understand? Can we pray alongside? And God will confirm. And what God does is he confirms it through them, because the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. You understand? Another way is that God can actually send a prophet to confirm it to you. Maybe through the preaching of Friday, you know, or during the service. You know, like any time you ask God of a matter, what God does is that he turns the mouth of the preacher to speak something, because they're prophesying. The Bible says, you know, when they're standing there, that is prophecy. Eh? He turns the mouth of the scripture to answer what was the question of your heart. You understand? And now that will tell you that you will need now to know who does God speak to you through. You understand? That tells you that when you commit yourself to a church, you know, or to a servant of God, or to a pastor, or to, then you have told God that, God, I want to be hearing your voice through this person, or through this church, or through this time that I come. So now what God does is that he make sure that your answer comes through that. You understand? So that prophetic voice, either God sending a prophet to speak to you directly, or while they are speaking to you, preaching to you, God turns, you know, turns that message into them, and they don't know why they even said it, but then it was an answer to the heart of someone, something someone was asking. Another thing that also God does is actually, you look, he ensures that the things around us agree to what he is saying. Why do I mean that? If God has given you a vision, he will provide for it. Actually, one of the greatest, you know, encouragement that you are in the will of God is that you actually see that God actually went ahead of you. You know, the way the Bible says that even before a word is on my mouth to speak it, you know, or even before I pray, that God says that your Father knows what you need even before you ask of him. So another way to know the voice of God is you can ask yourself, you can see, am I bearing fruit? Is it really the place where God had asked me to go? Is it the place where he has sent me where, you know, I don't need to carry bag or what? Or because he has gone ahead of me. So when you see even the provision of God in the place where you are, then you can know that it's the voice of God. But of course, definitely, if it is sin, it is not the way of God. Just be clear. If it is sin, out. Forget about it. That one is out. But there are layers that God uses to guide us. The inward witness, the peace of God. In, you know, are you having peace over the matter? You know, you can enter a car and you know deep in your heart that this is not right. Or what you're doing is not. You actually feel like your heart is fighting you. Or a heaviness in your heart. Those are spiritual signs, by the way, that each of us have, you know. And the sign I have might be different from yours. For someone, you might go to a place and you feel a headache. And you feel like you just need to leave. That is actually a spiritual sign that God is telling you you're in the wrong place. Or you can even watch YouTube and you just start watching a video and you just feel pain in your heart. Leave it. You'll start to know that this is a witness. This is a spiritual sign that God has given you to warn you, stop here or continue. So this is now, it comes as you walk with God. You understand? And as you're most, that's now being sensitive to the Spirit of God, discernment, as you've put it. Yeah, I don't know if that answers a bit. Yeah.
It does. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, we can talk some more on it as we have time. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you, we honor you, God, we give you glory. Indeed, you desire that your children know the truth and be led in truth and be guided by truth and not to fall prey to the deceptions of our time, to the deceptions of the evil one and to the deceptions of the devil. And I thank you that your children are to be guided. They are guided. And today we thank you for your voice, that in such a moment that as we have heard your word, as you've taught us how to meditate and how to be quiet in your word and to hear your voice and to discern your voice, I pray that the enemy shall not grab that word, that that word shall take root in our hearts. And I pray for the discipline to hear from you, O God, the place of quietness to hear from you, that indeed may we do the right thing. May we guide. May we be guided. May the Spirit, who is our teacher, guide us. May you send men to confirm that which you have spoken to us. May we hear counsel from our teachers. May our teachers not be removed from us, O God. Indeed, because you love us, you have promised to guide our steps. You have promised to speak to us. You have promised to provide for our every need. And I thank you that all these things align, that we walk in truth. And indeed, more importantly, when our hearts are yielded to you, we shall be led, guided, and directed by you. I thank you for your presence and thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for this day is ordered of you. Thank you for health. Thank you that our families are covered, they are sheltered, that sickness is far away from us, O God. You promise that sickness, serve the Lord with all your heart, and you shall take away sickness far away from us. And indeed, the young shall not be cast out, and there shall be no miscarriages and barrenness. Indeed, thank you for your word. that indeed these are the promises that you've given to us, that you shall grow us, O God. You shall drive away the enemy away from us, O God. We thank you and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom and have a blessed, blessed morning. Bye-bye.